And we know that.
They're the ones who are listening online.
Most people here understand that you can hurt people by...
Yeah.
It's like, the ones who are doing the damage are quite oblivious. Okay,
Rabbi, our limud of Chofetz Chaim, our limud of Hilchos Lashon Hara, is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Echayle, Hishtav Refuah Shleima, V'soch Shochayle Yisrael V'chorev. So we've been learning until now about how to prevent harm happening to other people. And we even spoke about where you are threatened and you want to prevent harm happening to yourself. And the same conditions apply, except that you have to be more careful, because this is what we learned yesterday, because a person is Odom Negea Etzalatzmoy. A person is involved for himself, to protect himself from harm or to remedy harm that's happened to himself. He's going to be he's going to work harder at it, and he's going to be more anxious to achieve that, and therefore he might do things which are not quite muta al pi halacha. He might not go through all the conditions. So the question now, says the Chofetz Chaim, what about harm that's already happened to him? Somebody has damaged his car. Somebody has injured him. Somebody has caused him some financial loss. Whatever it is. So he's not even an Eidechot. He can't go to Beis Din, because in Beis Din he's a Toin. Right? He is a person who has a claim. He's a Toiveya in Beis Din. So he can't give evidence for himself. He doesn't have two Eidim. If he has two Eidim, he can go to Beis Din. He's allowed to tell the Beis Din exactly what he likes. He brings the two Eidim in Beis Din. They can speak about what the other person did. The Beis Din will check them out, do drisha v'chakira, and check that they are honest Eidim. And based on the evidence that the Beis Din accepts, they will paskan what you can do about it. That's easy if you've got Eidim. If you don't have Eidim, you don't have a raya. I'm very interested to know, actually, bizman hazeh, whether or not the Beis Din accepts CCTV as Eidos. Yeah, I don't know. I know in an English court that you can challenge digital photos.
I don't know all that much, but they did say that Polaroid was accepted as evidence, because that was very hard to tamper with.
That's right.
Normal photos at the time were not, because they were subject...
No, normal photos at the time, which were taken on a roll of film, okay. Polaroid and a film you can't tamper with, but digital photos...
Polaroid was seen as a system that there's very little opportunity at the time, you can tamper
with... But digital photos can be tampered with, for sure.
Definitely.
Right? So therefore, there's no doubt on that. But let's say CCTV, right? Actual video film. I don't think you can tamper with that. I don't know. I'm not skilled enough to know that. Whether or not the basic sets up, but that's if you've got two Eidim, then you go.
The basis always as a raya, because
let's assume you've got a shtar, right? Like the Gemara speaks about in Sanhedrin, we've been learning. Yeah, you've got a shtar which has got an ishur of Beis Din on it, a henpek, and it says there the Beis Din have checked out this shtar, stamped London Beis Din. This is a kosher shtar with two Eidim on it. Or you've got two actual Eidim, which is what the Torah says, al pi shnayim Eidim yakun dava. Then you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din will paskan what to do. What happens if you haven't got Eidim, and somebody has done damage to you? And therefore, you now want Aleph, you want to achieve a remedy. You want to achieve a remedy from this person, that he should pay you back for the damage that he's done. And secondly, that you want people to know about it, in order that he might do this in a situation where he might cause the same damage that he caused to you, he might cause to others as well. So, says the Chofetz Chaim, Hu adin, le'galis le'echod. Now you're only speaking to one other person. Yeah, ma'asha echod goslo o hezikoi. Somebody stole from me, or caused me some sort of damage, or shumro ki yitzibazeh, whatever it is. Ain mutter, it's not mutter for me to tell that other person, to speak to his rov, to speak to his parent, to speak to his brother, to speak to somebody who has influence over the perpetrator. Unless I fulfill all the seven conditions that we've been learning about, I can't exaggerate, I have to mean letoyeles, etc., etc., etc. I have to think very carefully beforehand, all the rules that we had until now. Yeah? The gam. You've got to have tried him first. That was the Chofetz Chaim's condition as well. One of the conditions was that you've got to go and speak to him first, and it's only if he refuses to acknowledge, or refuses to compensate, he refuses to do anything about it, then what's going on? And again, how do you, or it says, Chofetz Chaim says, or he doesn't say it here, but he says it there is, or you are convinced, you're absolutely sure that he won't listen to you if you try and speak to him. In which case, you're not mechuyev to try. If you make a reasonable objective assessment. Yeah, you make a reasonable objective assessment. He's not going to listen to you anyway. Then there's no point in trying to what's called umamoid yeshlizor. Says the Chofetz Chaim again, which he said yesterday, and that is that where it's your own debt, where it's the harm or the money that's owing to you, you're going to be much more anxious and much more prejudiced and much more noigea in order to try and get your own money back than the other cases we were speaking about, where you're trying to resolve things for other people. And therefore, you go through the list, check that you tick all the boxes, says the Chofetz Chaim, before you go and speak to the Rav. Dilavochi, says the Chofetz Chaim, olul ma'oid shiave aladei zeh aladei alav gomel derechilos. It's so easy to miss out one of the conditions. It's so easy not to fulfill all the conditions that you need in order to do, in order to speak Lashon Hara in a situation like this. Therefore, and again, the Chofetz Chaim says as well, Veda, and no, and I know this is a case that happened recently, yeah, the Ein Shum Chilik Bazeh, it doesn't make any difference here whether or not you are voluntarily going yourself in order to do something about it, or somebody is asking you. If somebody's there's no difference. You have to fulfill all the conditions in order to tell someone else about the harm that someone, to tell Reuven about the harm that Shimon has caused. Yeah, you're not allowed to do it unless you fulfill. It doesn't matter whether or not the person you're speaking to is the God Lador, or whether or not the person you're speaking to is somebody very, very, let's say, relatively simple person. Yeah, Huadin, he says, there's no difference whether or not you are voluntarily going to him and you are suggesting to him that he does something about this avla that's happened, or that he comes to you and he asks you questions. And he says, I hear that Reuven injured Shimon. I hear that Reuven crashed into Shimon's car and you saw it. Now, he was only an Eid Echot. Yeah. Nevertheless, so he says, it doesn't make any difference whether you're volunteering the information or the person is asking you for information. You've got to fulfill the conditions. You've got to go through the seven conditions, and you've got to make sure that you tick all the boxes before you tell him. V'im loy yishmelimu ha-protim, says the Chofetz Chaim, if you haven't fulfilled all the protim, then also b'chol gavna, then you're not allowed to speak. If you can't go through, if you don't know the seven conditions, and you can't go through the list before you start telling other people about things that that people have done to you or to others, then Chofetz Chaim says, rather not start, because then it becomes just, you're over a lav, chas v'sholem, of Lashon Hara or Rechilos.
If someone hits your car, you don't tell them.
What?
If someone hits your car,
exactly. So that's the case, yeah? Someone hit my car,
yeah.
Okay? Hit and run.
And you heard someone okay? saw it.
And I heard someone saw it.
Yeah.
Okay? So I go over to him, yeah. And now, if I go to Beis Din with one aid, I'm not going to achieve anything. The Beis Din will not accept the eidos of one person, because eid echod is no good. Eid echod lo yanabish. Therefore, al pi halacha, I can't go to Beis Din.
Insurance will help you.
Well, the insurance might help me, exactly. With a witness, I might be able to go to insurance. Yeah? So the question is, but am I allowed to muster him to the insurers? Yeah, especially in Israel, if they're Israeli insurers, yeah? But even if not, am I allowed to mass him? Or I'm going to speak to the Rav about it. Or I'm going to speak to his brother, or to his uncle, or to his parent. Or somebody who can possibly help me in order to get the remedy. So then we said, the Chofetz Chaim says, we've got a list. We've been learning in this siman, in Klal Tes of Rechilos. We've got a list of seven boxes that you have to tick. If you tick off the boxes, then you're allowed to tell. If you don't tick all the boxes, then you're not allowed to tell. And those are the rules, says the Chofetz Chaim. And therefore the Chofetz Chaim says, if you don't know the boxes, then you can't tell, because there's a good chance that you won't fulfill all the conditions. Okay, So Hiosta, our speaker, isn't here yet. Let's go back to what we started earlier this week.
If you go to a guy and you know that he saw the accident and he won't tell you,
yes,
you've got a complaint. And you'll tell somebody else he saw the accident, but he won't tell me to help you.
Okay, so then you can go to a Rav and speak to him, speak to the Rav about it. You've only got to fulfill the conditions, right? You're not allowed to exaggerate. You've got to meet in the Toyeles and all the other rules and regulations that there are about it. Also, you've got to have spoken to the perp himself first. You've got to go to him and see. If he refuses to listen to you or he denies it and you know there's a witness who saw it, yeah? Again, you've got to have tried that as well. So the Chofetz Chaim's got his list. That's what we've been learning the whole week. And if you tick the boxes, you can speak to other people about it. If you don't tick one of the seven boxes, then unfortunately you're not allowed to. And if you don't know what the seven boxes are, then says the Chofetz Chaim, don't even start.
Start with the Torah in Northwest London, Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Aleph Shvat, 30th of January, Rabbi Doniel Lowe Shlita, Erev and Explained, Part 8. Shetas, Rav Moshe Feinstein. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Morgan, with the Simcha Nesun of Daniel Krasner, Yohan Raising Morgan. Shetiachios Chastik in place last Sunday. He wrote Sen Shimnu Bais, Nemom Yisrael. Shem Lissalobis Lischus, Hashvud Machayalim, Bamel Chamosh, Shachzul, Votohem, Nisholom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. Good morning, good Chodesh. The Matirim of citywide Erevin rely on the Shita that we spoke about 2 weeks ago of the Chazon Ish, who says that in large cities it's almost impossible to find a Rishus HaYochid, a Rishus HaRabim.
Impossible.
Almost impossible to find a Rishus HaRabim because of the reasons that we explained 2 weeks ago. The flip side is Rav Moshe Feinstein. He is the Balashita. If you look over the years at all Irvin controversies, making Irvin in cities, at some point, Shitas Rav Moshe will be brought to explain why you cannot make an Eruv in a city, in a modern city at least. So what did Rav Moshe say? What was Nischadesh with Shitas Rav Moshe that we hadn't seen before? So it's like this. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Vav delineates all the different kinds of Rishuyos. And the Gemara in Shabbos says, Ma hi Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says, Platia, which means a large town square, Sratia, which means a road that's going from city to city, and a Mavui Mefulush Mishnei Roshim. A smaller road that is open on both sides, says Rashi, it's open on both of its sides to one of the other Rishuyos previously mentioned, Sratia or Platia. That's what the Gemara says is a Rishus HaRabim. Now, when you learn Erevin Davov, you find something new. That was Shabbos Davov. When you learn Erevin Davov, the Gemara speaks about Rishus HaRabim, and Rashi defines what the Rishus HaRabim is. Says Rashi, when the Gemara says Rishus HaRabim, Dibur Maschil Rishus HaRabim, Davov Medalef in Mesechus Erevin, Mashma Rochav Sheishis Rei Amma, that's fine, that we learned a few times ago, 16 Amos wide, Ve'ir Shemetsuyim Bo Shishim Rivoy, a city where there are, in this city, 600,000 people. Where did that come into it? Where did that come from? Where did Rashi? I'll come to the Shishin Rivoy, the 600,000 in a minute. But where did Rashi get ear from? The Gemara in Shabbos doesn't mention anything about ear, a city. Where did Rashi get city? So Rashi's Makor is from also Maseches Erevin, a Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes, I'm going to paraphrase the Mishnah in terms of the sort of quite complicated din that the Mishnah says, teaches us there. The Mishnah distinguishes between Ir Shel Yochid and Ir Shel Rabim. an ear that is shel yochid and an ear shel rabim. Now, ear shel yochid, you can make an eruv in a totally normal way. And ear shel rabim, you can't. There's lots of extra chumras that apply to an ear shel rabim that don't apply to an ear shel yochid. What does that mean? Ear shel yochid, ear shel rabim? It's a strange expression. What does that mean? What's yochid and what's rabim? Explains Rashi on Daf Nun Tes. Ir shel yochid is a city that has less than 600,000 inhabitants. And Ir shel rabim is a city that has 600,000 or more inhabitants. And Rashi sees from this Mishnah that there's a huge difference first of all, when you have 600,000 versus not having 600,000, but there's a concept of a group definition, a group identity, if you will, something that changes to the whole collective of a city when a city is composed of 600,000 people. Something changes to the whole city. Let's just remind ourselves quickly about 2 points in order to understand this din of city more clearly going forward. First of all, again, remind ourselves there's a machlokes between Rashi, Tosfos, and a huge machlokes for Shonim. These are the two main shitas about what conditions are required to be a Rishus Rabbin. Some Rishonim say all you need is a road that is 16 amos wide. That is some Rishonim. And Rashi says that in order to be a Rishus Rabbin, it needs to have Shishim Rivoi, you need to have 600,000. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, right in the beginning of Hilchos Erevin, the first simon in Chelik Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah, that all Erevin that have been made historically in Klal Yisrael have relied on Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi is a big kula. If you say you're not a Rishus Rabbin until there's 600,000, so it's obviously much harder to be a Rishus Rabbin, so therefore it's a much more makel, yes.
600,000 residents.
Oh, so that's what I'm going to get into. That's what I'm going to get into now. Yeah, that's precisely what all this is about.
Also, 600,000 yeah. Males, females over the age of
a mitzvah,
what?
Yeah, so Tosfos and Erevin Davov addresses that because we learn the figure of 600,000 from the Midbar, and in the Midbar there were actually more people. But says Tosfos, and this is a point that Tosfos makes in many places in Hilchos Shabbos. That when we learn things from the Midbar, because that's where all Hilchos Shabbos come from, they all come from historical precedents in the Mishkan, the Limud is from what the Torah says explicitly, rather than what there was historically. So the number the Torah gives for how many Jews there were, by the way, not just Jews, it was Erev Rav, etc., the number the Torah gives is 600,000. So that is what we consider there to have been in the Mishkan. So everyone. Well, I mean, it's a bit of a nidden, but the accepted halacha is that it means anyone. And it could even mean goyim. That's din number one. Just to remind ourselves, there's machlokes about what are the conditions to be Rishus Rabbin. Shitas Rashi is 600,000, and the Mishnah Berurah says that all Erevin have relied on Shitas Rashi.
And this is here on the street.
I'll come to that. I'm leaving that vague. I'm going to come to that in 1 second. Just the pure, neat condition of 600,000. That is what is required, according to the Mishnah, obviously, to make an Erev. And that's because of the next din, which we learned, that you can't make an Erev in the Rishus Rabbim unless you have locked doors. Not doors that you can lock. Not dalsois haru'uyois linol. To make an Erev in the Rishus Rabbim, you need dalsois hanu'ulois belaila. You actually need doors. You need to be able to block the road that you are enclosing, or the area that you're enclosing, with doors that you lock every single night.
You need to lock everything at night?
Yes. Let's not get stuck on this part. So in other words, to make an Eruv in Rishus HaRabim, in an area that has been classified as Rishus HaRabim, you need Dalsois HaNa'ulois Belaila, gates that are actually shut every single night. So let's just factor this in now. According to Tosfos, that you don't need 600,000, That means whenever you make an Erev anywhere, that Erev needs to be with doors that are locked at night. Otherwise, you can't make an Erev. And as you may have noticed, except for small exceptions in various neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, no citywide Erevin have dalsois ne'ulois, dalsois that are actually locked at night. I mean, especially when you're living in a non-Jewish city, you can't just start closing off hermetically every single night whatever neighborhood you want to make an Erev in, obviously. So according to Tosfos, you cannot make an Erev. Finished. Now, all Erevin, and all this is explicit in Mishnah Berurah Shin Mem Hei, to make Erevin, citywide Erevin, they have to, behechrach, rely on Shitas Rashi, that says, you're not of Shitas Rashi until you have 600,000. So now, coming back to Rav Moshe, who's in this sheet, in this more makel shita, Shitas Rashi. So again, we've learned that Rashi got this concept of a collective definition of city from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes that distinguishes between an ir shel rabim and ir shel yochid. You see, there's a concept of an ir. There's a collective din that is generated through being an ir. Explains Rav Moshe, what does Rashi mean to say? What does it mean to have a Rishus Rabim through being a city, a collective city? Explains Rav Moshe, and he has 9 tshuvas about this in various places in Igros Moshe. Explains Rav Moshe like this, that in the Midbar, because again, that's where we learn everything from, we learn everything, all the Hilchos Shabbos from the Mishkan, you had an encampment to Klal Yisrael were together in a machaneh. And they were together in a machaneh. And this machaneh of Klal Yisrael had, as we spoke about it, not historically, but as stated, 600,000 people. And this machaneh was 12 mil by 12 mil. That was the size of the Jewish encampment. That's approximately 12 square kilometers. 12 mil by 12 mil. That was the Jewish encampment. And that, as a collective, according to Rashi, that was definitely Rishus HaRabim. We learned various things. That's the Gemara we learned together the first time. We learned together in the beginning of Perek HaZorik in Shabbos. Gemara says, where was Rishus HaRabim? And the Gemara brings, as an example of Rishus HaRabim, the Jewish encampment, the Machaneh. So that was Rishus HaRabim. Explains Rashi, and he's pushed to this explanation because of the Mishnah and Daf Nun Tes. What was the Rishus HaRabim in the Machaneh? In the times of the Mishkan, the Rishus HaRabim was the encampment of Klal Yisrael as a collective. As a collective. So how does it work? That you don't need, and here I'm answering your point, Yankee, that you don't need Shishim Rivoy, you don't need 600,000 to be on every street. That's the way I might have come out from the Gemara and Daf Vav in Shabbos that says Srati, Plati, etc. You don't need to have 600,000 on every street to be Rishus HaRabim. Even if you hold that you need 600,000 to be Rishus HaRabim, if you're in a city that has 600,000, then every street in that city, even if on that street doesn't come close to 600,000, every city in that street that has 600,000 will be Rishus HaRabim. So, just to finesse this point. Before this new din, calling it new in inverted commas, of Rashi and Rav Moshe, that there's a collective din of Rishus HaRabim through being a shared city, I might have thought that what is Rishus HaRabim, according to Rashi? A road that, again, we explained the mistake. It doesn't mean a road there's every day 600,000 people. There's never had been such a sheet. It means a road that is useful for 600,000 people, is meshamish 600,000 people. I might have thought that's what Rishus HaRabim is. And that's a very big kula, because there are few roads in the world that service 600,000 people. Before this din of ir, that's where I would have left the din of Rishus HaRabim. And by the way, roads that connect cities, roads that are not in cities, there, according to Rashi and Rav Moshe, you still need 600,000. Because we're not talking about the inner city collective. Roads that are in between cities, even nowadays, you need 600,000 people. It's just that there's a new way of generating Rishus HaRabim, which is through having a collective identity, a shared identity of being in the same city. Just like Klal Yisrael were together in their machaneh, and every area within that machaneh of 600,000 people became Rishus HaRabim, so too, everyone in a city, every street, that is, you need 16 amas, every street within a city of 600,000 people becomes a Rishus HaRabim.
So, for instance, in London,
yes,
is there an area of 12 square kilometres within an area in London of 12 square kilometres? Are there 600,000 residents?
Right, so that is a crucial nidun in the current era of being discussed. So, it seems in this area, I'm not sure. Again, I don't know about actual Erevin. I just know about the halachas being said. But it seems that the area that is under debate doesn't have 600,000 people in this Shtemisri mil by Shtemisri mil. That's what it seems. So that is Shitas Rav Moshe. So what does that do for us, Shitas Rav Moshe? Or what does that take away from us, more accurately? Is that the Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned said that to make an Eruv, you have to rely on those Shitas that you need 600,000 people. And here is where the Mishnah Berurah says his famous expression, Baal Nefesh Yachmir. Come across this expression when it comes to Eruvin, Baal Nefesh Yachmir. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it's a big machloikis for Shonim, as to whether you need 600,000 or you don't need 600,000. The minag of Klal Yisrael was to make Erevin, and therefore relying on Shitas Rashi that you need 600,000. A Baal Nefesh, someone who has real Yerushalayim, should be Machmir and not rely on any Erev, because many Rishonim say you don't need 600,000. And again, that means that any street that is 16 amos wide, you cannot make an Erev unless you have locked doors at night. But the minag of Klal Yisrael was to make Erevin and to rely on Shitas Rashi that you need 600,000.
I'm sorry, 600,000 for it not to be an Erev.
You need 600,000 for it not to be an Erev. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Now, and that was the indisputed minag of Klal Yisrael to make Erevin, and Klal Yisrael we relied on Shitas Rashi. You need 600,000. It says Rav Moshe, when was this? This was in a time when you didn't have large cities of 600,000 people. I'm not going to get into the historical precedents in Warsaw, in Paris, etc. But I'm just explaining to you Shitas Rav Moshe. Shitas Rav Moshe, says this in many tshuvas. He says, where do we have this minag to make Erevin? Where you have cities that don't have 600,000. But if you are in a city, and he's talking about Manhattan, Brooklyn, etc. When you're in a place that has 600,000 people, so you've lost the whole source, the whole shita that was relied upon by Klal Yisrael to make Erevin. Again, according to Tosfos, the 600,000 people, Loi Hoyev Olinivra, there's no such din in Erevin. So you can't make an Erev anywhere unless you have locked doors at night. The whole heta to make Erevin was to rely on Shitas Rashi, that you need 600,000. But that was only in the past when you didn't have large cities that had 600,000 people. Nowadays, says Rav Moshe, if you're in a city that has 600,000 people, again, possibly within this area that is the same size as the machaneh of Klal Yisrael, 12 square kilometers. When you have 600,000 people together in a city, then so explains Rav Moshe Badas Rashi, every single road in that city, even if they don't have 600,000 people on each road, if the city has 600,000 people, so then every single road in that city is just a rabbin. So now you can't make any Erev in any city unless the doors are being locked at night. So the whole heter to make Erevin nowadays has gone away in large cities, according to Rav Moshe.
So you can't do any Erev in a small area.
So, Rav Moshe himself speaks about an area in New York called Queen Garden Hills. Queen Garden. Kew Garden Hills, yeah. Kew Garden Hills. In Chelik Dalit, in Mishtabura, Chelik Dalit in the Roche speaks about an area called Kew Garden Hills, which was an area within New York, that Moshe said, you can make an Erev. You can make an Erev.
They had one.
They had an Erev, yeah. So, it's not entirely clear what are the rules, according to Rav Moshe, as to how he very strongly said you can't make an Erev in Manhattan and Brooklyn on one hand, but in the same city of New York, he in Kew Garden Hills, he said that you can make an Erev. Not entirely clear what are the parameters as to when you're not allowed, when you are allowed. It's probably to do with the concentration of population within 12 square kilometers. But either way, that is Shitas Rav Moshe, that Bapashtas. You cannot make an Eruv in a modern city. So, in general, to sum up 8 sessions, we're talking about Eruvin in cities. To sum up in one sentence, whether we can make Eruvin in cities or not, obviously there's rather more detail than this, but the bare bones of the issue as to whether you can make an Eruv in cities or not is whether we rely on Shitas Chazon Ish, or we rely on Shitas Rav Moshe. The old London Eruv, as the Poskim writes, Eruv Hayoshon, explicitly rely on Shitas Chazon Ish. And Yushalayim Eruv also, the Bedat Eda Charedus Eruv relies on Shitas Chazon Ish. And Rav Chazon Ish's Talmidim, Rav Chaim, and Rav Nissim Karelitz, they all say that you can rely on Shitas Chazon Ish when it comes to making a city in an Eruv. Other Poskim say, well, no, we have Rav Moshe that says you cannot make an Eruv in a city that has 600,000 people living there. Because the whole rationale to have an Eruv was to rely on Shitas Rashi, that you need 600,000 people. In the modern day cities, you don't have 600,000, you have 600,000 people, and therefore, even according to Rashi, it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore you can't make an Eruv with only a Turus of Pesach. Needs to be Dalsois and Ulois Belaila, doors that are actually locked. So that is, in a nutshell, the debate as to whether it's mutter to make an Eruv. Can you rely on Shitas Chazon Ish? Or are we forced to be Machmir like Rav Moshe? The Chazon Ish Shita is that when you have 3 mechitas of Oymid Marufa Min Aparatz, that you don't say, well, you can make